top. I jerked to a stop, realizing that I was moving forward, but my laundry bag wasn't. Assuming it was hooked on the handrail, I turned to liberate it, and was almost eye to eye with Buck. The end of the bag was caught in his fist. I gasped, and my heart stopped, as though the moment was suspended in slow motion, and then it began pounding like heavy machinery in my chest. He stepped up to the stair just beneath me and sneered down at me. "Hey, Jackie." Bile rose in my throat at the sound of his voice, and I swallowed.
"Or no, I guess it's Jacqueline now, right? Isn't that what you said? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet."
When he leaned closer, I tried to back up the stairs and tripped, sprawling. I used the opportunity to scramble backwards and up toward the door. But he reached down and pulled me up easily, both hands gripping my shoulders. "Don't touch me," I choked. He smiled as though he was hypnotizing small, trapped prey, toying with me.
"Come on, Jacqueline, don't be like that. You've always been real nice to me. I just want you to be a little bit nicer, that's all."
His words weren't slurred this time. He was sober and resolute, and the malevolence in his eyes told me that I would pay for my escape the night of the party. I would pay for what Lucas had done. I shook my head.
"No. I'm saying no, Buck, just like last time."
His eyes narrowed, and I could barely hear the curse he hissed from the blood pulsing through my ears. "Run, run, run," it seemed to say, and I wished I could obey. I let go of the bag and it fell at our feet.
"I know what happened that night wasn't your fault," he shrugged. "You're a pretty girl, and obviously that guy had the same idea I did. He just got the jump on me 'cause I'd been drinking."
His breath fell over my face, hot, not a trace of alcohol. He wouldn't trip if I twisted from his grip and ran.
"So did he fuck you in your truck, or did you let him take you back to your room? I know Erin was with Chaz that night, just like she'll be tonight."
I flinched from his vulgar words. I hadn't gotten a text from Erin yet, but it wasn't impossible that she was staying with Chaz tonight, or that Buck would know before I would. One arm snaked around and grasped my hip, squeezing it painfully. The pain was nothing compared to the degradation of being pawed against my will.
"The stairwell is rank and uncomfortable, but doable. Why don't we go to your room instead? I'll make it good for you, baby."
His threat was obvious. If I said no, he would rape me right here. Somebody could come into the stairwell any moment.
He laughed. "True. Too bad you aren't wearing that little skirt you had on the other night. They could put you against this wall and do you in 2 minutes without taking a thing off of you."
My head spun. I strained against him, trying to move, even just a little, but couldn't.
"Wouldn't be the first time I've been caught with some hot little freak in an off-the-wall position. And hey, bonus, if you want to get Kennedy back for dumping you, then turning into the girl who'll do anything, anywhere, with anyone would make him crazy."
He shrugged.
"You already started with that piece of shit, and who knows who else. So we can do it here, if that's what you want."
"No," I said, and his eyes flared. "My room." My breath panted out, shaky and hopefully mistaken for horniness in his pea-brained assessment. He smiled, and I almost threw up. I've never wanted to vomit more, but my body fought it down instinctively. Arm around my waist, he turned me toward the door at the top, grabbing the laundry bag from the floor. I asked myself if I was willing to do what I was about to do, if I was prepared to scream, fight, and claw him in the hallway, humiliate myself in front of everyone in hopes that he wouldn't succeed in getting me into my room. If he did that, I was done for. The walls weren't soundproof, but everyone was used to hearing all sorts of noises emanating from neighboring rooms. If anyone even heard anything over their music, televisions, and video games, they'd likely think nothing of it. We emerged into the hallway, and I evaluated the people I was about to depend on. My room was 6 doors from the stairwell. 2 guys at the opposite end of the hall were practicing kickflips on a skateboard. Olivia stood in the middle of the hall, talking to Joe, a guy from the 4th floor. When she spotted us, her mouth dropped open before she snapped it closed, and Joe looked over his shoulder, lifted his chin at Buck, and turned back to her with a low chuckle. This was bad. Kimber, who roomed 2 doors down, came into the hallway with her laundry. I stopped. It was now or never. Buck took a step forward before realizing I was holding my ground. He turned back toward me. "Come on, Jay," he coaxed.
"No, you aren't going into my room, Buck. I want you to leave, now."
The shock registered on his face. Kimber, Olivia, and Joe froze, waiting to witness firsthand whatever was about to go down. Buck's hand was at my elbow.
"That's not what you said a few minutes ago, babe. Let's have this talk in private."
He tried to pull me forward, but I wrenched my arm from his meaty hand.
"I want you to leave. Now."
I glared, my chest heaving. Indecision played across his features. 5 people were watching. He put both hands up, palms out.
"Don't be mad, okay? I tried to tell you that brick would be cold and rough. It's not my fault you couldn't wait 5 minutes.
Tossing the bag over my shoulder, he said,
"Call me later when you cool down, pretty girl."
He bumped fists with Joe and sauntered to the stairwell, and I waited until he disappeared through the door to move. My face burning, I unlocked my door while Olivia whispered not so discreetly behind me,
"Oh my God, they just did it in the stairwell. She had some other guy in her room like Friday night. I wonder if she was screwing around on Kennedy, and that's why he..."
I shut my door, leaned against it, and slid to the floor, quaking. Tears skated in tracks down my face, and my breath shuddered out, leaving my chest aching. I wanted to run away. To go home. To be ignorant of getting dumped, of having my dreams dashed, of constantly feeling too inexperienced and stupid to deal with my own life. I'd outwitted Buck this time, making it twice that he'd not gotten what he wanted, and he was pissed. Popular and good-looking, he could almost take his pick of girls, and from what I'd heard and witnessed, he used that advantage to the fullest. I was no prettier than girls like Olivia, who constantly threw themselves in his path. There was no reason for him to fixate on me. There had been some early rivalry between Buck and Kennedy, but I couldn't remember what it was. Something that happened when they were pledges. Would he harass me like this because of some grudge against my ex? He might, if he thought he could get under Kennedy's skin by doing it. I was going to have to tell Erin. She would be furious with me for keeping this to myself, and I dreaded her reaction. But I had no choice. Not anymore. "Me, I need to talk to you."
"Erin, I need to talk to you, too. Meet me in our room after your class."
"Jacqueline, did you hook up with Buck last night?"
Erin hissed as the door to our room shut behind her. I imagined I could feel the blood draining from my face.
"Where did you hear that?"
She made a noise.
"Psh! Where did I not hear it? Why didn't you tell me this morning during astronomy? And why Buck, of all people? I mean, he's hot and all."
"I didn't." I swallowed with difficulty, and my eyes were filling. "I didn't, Erin." She blinked at my expression and crossed the room in 3 strides, grabbing my arms.
"Jay, what's the matter? What happened?"
I sunk onto my bed, and she sat with me, her eyes wide.
"I have to tell you something."
"Okay, I'm listening."
Where to start? Last night? 2 weeks ago?
"When I left the Halloween party early, a couple of weeks ago, Buck followed me."
I chewed a loose piece of skin on my lip and knew it was bleeding. The taste of blood brought that night back more vividly, and my face flushed hot. "He was drunk. He pushed me into my truck." I held myself rigidly, forcing the words out as her mouth fell open.
He what?
Her grip on my arm tightened.
He was going to rape me.
Going to? I shut my eyes, licked the blood from my lip.
Lucas showed up out of nowhere. He stopped him.
Oh, my fucking God.
In the silence that followed, I finally opened my eyes. Erin still gripped one of my arms as she stared at the worn carpet beneath our feet.
Do you believe me?
The tears wouldn't stay dammed, though I felt sure I would run dry soon. The last time I cried, before Kennedy broke up with me, before the past month, had been over a year ago, when I fractured my femur snowboarding. Before that, when our old dog, Sissy, died.
Jacqueline, how can you... Of course I believe you. What kind of question is that?
She glared at me, insulted.
And by the way, why the hell didn't you tell me this before now? Because you didn't think I'd believe you?
Her lip quivered, transforming her expression from offended to injured. Chaz and Buck are best friends, and I thought I could just avoid him.
Jacqueline, this is exactly the sort of stuff women need to share with each other. I don't give a shit if he was drunk.
There's more. She sat, staring and silent. Last night, he caught me in the stairwell. Erin's eyes grew round and I shook my head.
Nothing happened. I tricked him into coming upstairs by saying we could go to my room. When we got into the hallway with other people around, I told him to leave.
I covered my face with my hands and choked out the rest. He made it sound like we'd done it in the stairwell. Olivia heard him.
I get the picture, Erin said, grabbing my hands. That gossipy whore has no right to spread rumors about anyone. I don't care about her. But be honest with me, Jay. Did he hurt you? Did he?
Her eyes flashed. I shook my head. He just scared me. She sighed, her forehead creased in thought, and then she straightened.
Wait, so that lying bastard ran into Lucas's fists multiple times, not a couple of homeless thugs?
Yeah. The hurt crept across her face. I could see it in her eyes.
Why didn't you tell me?
My shoulders slid up and down, almost imperceptibly.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Her answer was to put her arms around me.
And Lucas? You knew him before all of this?
I leaned against her, tucked my head under her chin.
No.
I'd never seen him before that night. Our econ class is huge, and it's not like I was looking around at other guys. I had Kennedy. My hands flipped palm up on my lap. Or I thought I did. Erin's arms tightened.
Of course you did.
Chapter 10.
Did you go to the tutoring sessions? I've only been a couple of times, but I don't remember seeing you there.
Benji's voice snapped my attention from Lucas.
Huh?
He chuckled as I shoved my econ text into the backpack at my feet, embarrassed at having been caught sneaking a glance at Lucas. Again. Tutoring sessions? I wish I could, but I have another class at the same time. We've emailed, though. I needed help catching up after my 2-week hiatus from sanity. Suddenly, I realized, if Benji had attended the tutoring sessions, that meant he had seen Landon. I'd also deduced from a few deliberately transparent comments that Benji was gay. So he might not be opposed to answering questions such as, exactly how hot is the econ tutor?
So you've been to a couple of sessions, huh?
He nodded, and I decided to start with something way more fundamental. Is there any chance the tutor is, you know, gay? I held my breath, waiting for his answer.
What, like I hand out a survey?
He laughed when I blinked, worried I'd just offended him.
I'm just messing with you. I'm pretty sure he doesn't play for my team. Nope, if he did, he'd be a little out of my league.
He sucked in and patted his stomach, which was made somewhat flat by his efforts.
Nothing a couple of weeks at the gym and giving up bread for the weekend wouldn't take care of.
I rolled my eyes.
Shut up.
He sighed.
I love being a guy. Need to lose 5 pounds? Go without ketchup for a couple of weeks. Problem solved.
We shouldered our backpacks and trudged up the stairs. I really hate you right now. He laughed, more so when my eyes scanned the space between Lucas's seat and the door. He was gone.
So you're trading emails and intense doomy stares in class? I'm guessing you aren't the only girl, or guy, in Heller's class who thinks the tutor's hot like a spicy tamale. But you may be the only one where the feeling is mutual.
I heard his teasing words, but nothing registered after I made the connection that had been right in front of me.
Lucas? Is the tutor?
Benji halted with me, both of us buffeted by people parting around us.
I didn't know his name, but yeah. Holy shit!
He dragged me from the heavy flow of foot traffic.
You didn't know he was the tutor?
He smiled.
I guess you'll be going to the sessions now, huh? I mean, technically you're off limits, but you aren't the only one in that staring game, or I wouldn't tease you.
He leaned his face down and looked into my eyes.
Jacqueline, what the hell?
I considered the emails he wrote to me as Landon, and Lucas's stares, his texts, and most notably, the sketching and makeout session 5 days ago, after which he hadn't texted, or emailed, or told me he was Landon.
I didn't know.
Like I needed one more damned thing to make me feel like an utter idiot.
Hello, Ms. Obvious. I sort of deduced that from your dazed and confused expression. Maybe he thought you knew.
I shook my head. He knew I didn't know. I frowned. And what do you mean that I'm off limits? He lifted one shoulder.
My roommate tutored freshman chemistry. Tutors have to attend the class they're doing sessions for, but they aren't allowed to, you know, fraternize with those students. Conflict of interest. Not as big of a deal as GTAs or professors, who are advised against hooking up with any student at all. Still, it's not like it doesn't happen. We're all human.
I stared at the floor. Am I just completely freaking clueless? How did I not know? Benji tucked a finger under my chin.
I'm getting the distinct feeling there's been some fraternizing going on.
He sighed at the look on my face.
Look, if you never attended a tutoring session and neither of his alter egos told you he was the same guy, how are you supposed to know exactly?
The tension in my shoulders deflated. I guess you're right.
Of course I'm right. Now what?
My jaw locked. No idea. But one thing's for sure. I'm not telling him I know. Benji shook his head, one arm around my shoulders as we merged back into the stream of students.
When I registered for econ, I had no idea that I'd be in for this level of reality show drama. It's like a big fat bonus.
Erin, I signed us up for a self-defense class.
Me.
What?
Erin, put on by the campus popo. Saturday's 9 till noon. Starts this week. Skips the weekend after Thanksgiving, then 2 more.
Me.
Okay.
Erin, we get to beat the shit out of guys in those big puffy suits. I've always wanted to really kick the crap out of some guy's nuts. Now I can do it guilt-free.
Me. You're a sick girl.
Erin, guilty as charged. Smiley face.
On Friday, I didn't look in Landon/Lucas's direction once. Not one single time. It had been a week since our university prohibited makeout. Was that the pull for him? That I was forbidden fruit? I'd show him forbidden. When we were packing up, Benji looked over my shoulder, his eyebrows rising into the dark curls falling over his forehead.
Hey, Jackie.
Kennedy hadn't spoken to me in over a month. The last words between us involving a trite cliché and the very textbook I was currently holding. I pulled a steadying breath through my nose and turned.
Kennedy? I waited. Sure, he had some reason to approach me, though I had no idea what it was.
Are you heading home for Thanksgiving? If so, we should carpool. You know, make that 4-hour drive a little less monotonous.
You want us to drive home? Together?
He shrugged and flicked his head to the side with a faintly dimpled smile.
Kennedy tossing his hair out of his eyes was an arresting sight, and he damn well knew it. At the moment, though, it kind of pissed me off. Benji cleared his throat and touched my elbow.
See you Monday, Jacqueline.
I smiled at him. Have a good weekend, Benjamin. He winked at me and bumped by Kennedy without apology.
What's his deal?
My ex scowled. What do you really want, Kennedy? I shifted my backpack and stared up at him, conflicted by my contradictory desires in that moment. I wanted to punch him in the face. I wanted to fall into his arms and wake up from the nightmare of him casting me aside.
I'd like for us to be friends at the end of this. You mean a lot to me.
The gentleness in his eyes was almost a physical caress. I'd known him so well, and for so long. This speech was unanticipated. Too much, too soon. My eyes teared up. I don't know if I can ever do that, Kennedy. And I don't want to drive home with you next week. Excuse me. I edged around him and started up the aisle to the door.
Jackie!
It's Jacqueline, I said without turning, leaving him behind. Landon, I'm sending this a little early, though of course I don't imagine you're sitting around on a Friday night waiting for economics projects to pour in. But I'm going to be busy tomorrow morning, so I thought I'd go ahead and send it. Thank you again for looking it over before I turn it in. J.W.
Jacqueline, as a matter of fact, you've distracted/saved me, temporarily at least, from an infuriating search for a bug somewhere within hundreds of lines of code that doesn't quite work. I'd much rather look over your econ project. I'll have it back to you by Sunday evening, if not sooner. L.M.
I stared at the L of his signature, picturing him as the guy I knew he was, Lucas. As Landon, his flirting had been subtle. As Lucas, it was overt. What game was he playing? I had no way of knowing if this situation was a first for him, or if he frequently stepped outside of those tutor-student boundaries. The night we met, that horrible night, he'd known who I was. He'd called me Jackie, the name he must have heard Kennedy call me. When I first emailed him for economics help, he must have known, too, but he gave me no hint. According to the university's website, restrictions on socializing were to protect, or prevent, students from trading sexual favors for grades, or the appearance of such a thing. But Landon was helping me learn the material, and I was doing the work. When it came to my grade in Dr. Heller's class, there was nothing improper going on. He knew it. I knew it. But even consensual fraternization, as Benji called it, was theoretically against the rules. I could get Landon Maxfield in serious trouble. When he came to my room, I thought he was just another student in the class, and he'd continued that deception. He'd kissed me, touched me, and I'd let him. I'd wanted him to. I shut my laptop and stared at my phone. We'd made out a week ago. Here, in my room. And hadn't texted me once since then. I wanted to know why. Me. Did I do something wrong? I waited several minutes, looking at photos on my phone, many of which included Kennedy. I wondered if it was weakness that made it tough to delete them, or if I just wanted to keep the evidence that we'd seemed in love, that we'd looked in love, even while it was all ending. Lucas.
No, been busy. What's up?
Me. I guess you haven't had time to redo the sketches. Lucas.
Actually, I did one of them. I'd like you to see it.
Me. I'd like to see it. Is it tacked to your wall? Lucas.
Yes.
Listen, I'm out right now. T-T-Y-L? Me.
Sure.
According to his email, he was working on what sounded like a huge CSE project, and according to his text, he was out partying. I had no idea which was true. I'd believe he was blowing me off, except for this. I'd like you to see it. I reread the text, opened my laptop, and reread his email, but felt no closer to figuring him out.
Erin came storming into our room at 1 a.m. on her cell.
You know what? I think you don't respect my opinion about a lot of things.
Luckily, I was awake, watching online video clips of self-defense classes. Despite Erin's eagerness for nut-kicking and my own need to learn this stuff, the last thing I wanted to do in the morning was get up and go punch and kick some guy in a puffy suit. I couldn't see how that would correlate into getting away from someone like Buck. If I'd have been able to break his grip on me either night, let alone kick him, I would have. The door shut behind my clearly furious roommate as she flung her bag onto her bed, kicking off her heeled pumps.
Well, I can't be with someone who's decided to stand behind a fucking rapist.
Oh, God. I closed out of YouTube and pushed my laptop off my lap.
Yes, Chaz, that's what I really think.
She unbuttoned her white blouse so forcefully, I was sure she would rip off a button or two.
Fine, think whatever you want. I'm done.
Punching her phone, she growled at it and tossed it on her bed before turning to me, yanking her shirt off.
Well, I guess that's over.
My mouth agape, I sat speechless, while she shoved her black skirt down over her hips and kicked it in the general direction of the laundry hamper. She slipped bracelets from her arms and removed her earrings, dropping them on a desk littered with jewelry, tarot cards, gum packets, and paperback novels.
Erin, did you just break up with Chaz? Over me?
She pulled on a t-shirt that fell to mid-thigh and clearly belonged to Chaz. Scowling, she ripped it back over her head, wadded it up, and hurled it.
No, I broke up with Chaz because he's a fucking twat-headed jackass.
But, Jacqueline? She held up one palm like a traffic cop signaling stop.
Don't say it. I broke up with Chaz because he proved what's important to him. Bros before hoes. Well, fuck that. I won't come second to a bunch of his dumbass friends, and I certainly won't come second to some dickhead who's a walking affront to all women. Besides, it was never gonna be a permanent thing, right? Who does that in college, anyway?
She spun around and rummaged through the top drawer of our tiny built-in wardrobe, ostensibly searching for a non-previously Chaz-owned t-shirt. I heard one muffled sniff and knew she was crying. Damn Chaz. Damn Buck. Damn Lucas slash Landon slash whoever the hell he was. The campus self-defense for women classes were held in one of the classrooms on the first floor of the activities building. We found the room, and I tossed my coffee cup in the hallway trash can. Erin, yawning after a sleepless night, which I knew because her restless fidgeting and sniffling had kept me awake. Around 4 a.m., she'd crawled into bed with me, curling into spoon position against me as I swept the hair back from her face. Mercifully, she'd fallen asleep almost immediately, and I'd followed suit.
Hey, isn't that...
Erin spoke without moving her lips, like a ventriloquist. Clad in black sweatpants and a black t-shirt, Lucas stood at the front of the room with two older men.
Yes,
I hissed as we took our seats, and I stared down at the packet of coarse material, the cover of which depicted a man attacking a woman who was poised to defend herself.
Erin, I don't think I can do this.
Yes, you can,
she countered, so quickly that she must have been anticipating my response.
Good morning, ladies,
the smaller, older guy began, silencing any further protest from me.
I'm Ralph Watts, the assistant chief of police on campus. This feeble-looking guy to my left is Sergeant Don, and the ugly one is Lucas, one of our parking enforcement officers.
Everyone chuckled,
as Don and Lucas were far from feeble or ugly.
We're pleased that you've given up Saturday mornings to increase your knowledge of personal safety.
I snuck a look at Erin when she nudged me with her knee.
Parking enforcement officer? Jesus, how many jobs does he have?
She mumbled from the side of her mouth. No shit, I mumbled back. She didn't even know about the tutoring job.
Could be hot,
she whispered, especially if there's a uniform or handcuffs. I sighed. Glancing around the semicircle of folding chairs, I noted that there were only about a dozen of us, a mix of students, professors, and administrative staff. The oldest was a white-headed black woman who had to be the age of my grandmother. I told myself that if she could come in here to learn how to kick potential rapist ass, so could I. Even if Lucas was standing across the room, alternately staring at me and avoiding my eyes completely. The first hour and a half, basic self-defense principles were discussed. Ralph told us that 90% of self-defense involves reducing the risk of attack in the first place.
In an ideal world, we could all go about our business without fear of being assaulted. Unfortunately, that ideal is not representative of reality.
My face heating, I recalled Lucas admonishing me for walking across the dark parking lot behind the frat house texting instead of paying attention to my surroundings. I circled 90% in blue ink until I'd obscured the words on either side. But then I remembered the last thing he'd said that night.
It wasn't your fault.
We were encouraged to propose safety guidelines and write them all down, locking doors, walking or exercising with a friend, wearing shoes that don't hinder running. Erin's suggestion of avoid assholes was popular.
Three things are necessary for an assault: an assailant, a victim, and opportunity. Remove opportunity, and you take a huge leap in reducing the likelihood of the assault.
Ralph clapped his hands together once.
All righty, let's take a short break, and when we come back, it's time to do some of the butt-kicking you ladies signed up to inflict on Don and Lucas.
Chapter 11.
Many of you are probably convinced that without a weapon, you have no hope against an aggressive male.
Ralph spoke from the opposite side of a set of mats on which Don and Lucas faced each other. The rest of us spread out along the outer edge of the mats, prepared to watch whatever they were about to do. Lucas still hadn't acknowledged my presence.
The truth is, you have several weapons at your disposal, and we're going to show you how to utilize them to your best advantage. Big Mean Don here will be the assailant, and Lucas, with all that pretty hair, will be the intended victim.
Giggling erupted from several girls standing near Lucas as he pinned his lips together in good-natured irritation and raked his dark hair back out of his face.
Your weapons are your hands, feet, knees, and elbows, and your head. And I don't just mean what's inside it, although that comes into play. Your forehead and the back of your head, when they come into contact with susceptible areas on your assailant, can leave him seeing stars.
Using Don as an example, he pointed out the obvious vulnerable spots.
Yes,
Erin hissed when he indicated the groin, and then the less obvious places, like the top of the foot and the forearm. Ralph called out the moves Lucas employed to defend himself as he and Don acted out half a dozen choreographed attacks. Time lapsed to clearly demonstrate what they were doing. I felt more hopeless, not less, as I watched them. Lucas's muscular body was trained to execute those blocks and hits, to absorb blows from an assailant. I'd watched him beat the crap out of Buck, when I could barely dislodge him long enough to scream, let alone inflict any damage.
The goal here is not to beat the guy up.
Ralph smiled at Aaron's disappointed grumble.
Our objective is to give you time to escape. Getting the hell out of Dodge is your goal.
We divided into pairs to practice wrist blocks and parries. The three instructors circled the room, assisting and repositioning. I was relieved when Don walked up to watch Erin and me as we took turns trying to slow-motion slap each other.
Keep your eyes on the assailant, he reminded me.
He turned to Erin.
Put a little more oomph into that attack. She can block it.
I was shocked to find he was right. Erin almost hit me the second time because I was so surprised I'd completely blocked her first attempt. Dawn nodded.
Good job.
We smiled stupidly at each other and switched assailant and victim roles.
So when do we get to the junk kicking? Erin asked.
Dawn shook his head and sighed.
I swear there's one in every class. Kicks will be next time.
He pointed at her.
And I'm making sure you're in Lucas's line for that.
She put on her innocent face.
Don't y'all wear those padded Michelin Man suits?
Yes, but those pads don't block all feeling.
Heh-heh, Erin said, and Dawn quirked one eyebrow at her.
I looked around the room during this exchange, watching Lucas with a couple of the giggly girls.
Like this?
One of them asked, blinking up at him like she didn't know she'd positioned her hand incorrectly.
No.
He turned her palm around and adjusted her elbow.
Like that.
His voice was almost inaudible with all of the slapping, blocking, and laughter scattered through the wide-open room. Even so, I felt his words like a soft stroke down my back. I could hardly connect this guy, his shaggy hair, his tattoos, the pure sexuality in the way he walked and the low thrum of his voice, with Landon, an engineering senior who said, or wrote, that my ex was a moron and teased me about 14-year-old orchestra students crushing on me, all while helping me pass a class I'd have failed without him. I was attracted to the whole of him, each side incongruent with the other. But the whole of him was also a liar. The fact that our professor called him by a different name than the assistant chief of police was perplexing, too. The preface of his official email address was L. Maxfield. No help there. He looked up and caught me staring, and for the first time that morning, neither of us looked away until Erin said,
Jay, pay attention. Just try to slap me.
I broke the stare and turned to her. She moved around to face me, her back to Lucas, and rolled her eyes.
Does the concept of playing hard to get totally escape you?
She whispered.
Let him chase.
I'm not playing that game any longer. She glanced over her shoulder and back.
Girlfriend, I don't think he knows that.
I shrugged. We practiced defensive stances and simple hand strikes, and though I felt silly at first, Erin and I were soon yelling, no, along with our classmates, and shoving the heels of our hands into each other's chins, or hammering a fist, very slowly, down onto each other's noses.
The last thing today will be ground defense. We'll watch Don and Lucas illustrate the first position and defense, and then each pair come grab a mat, and we'll circulate while you practice.
Lucas lay face down on the mat, and Don knelt over him, holding him down with his weight. My heart rate spiked and my breaths came irregularly, just watching. I didn't want to be in that position again. I couldn't do it in front of a classroom of people. I couldn't do it in front of Lucas. Erin uncurled my fist with her fingers and took my hand.
Jay, you've got to do this one. You be the attacker first. It'll be okay.
I shook my head. I don't want to. It's too much like... I swallowed.
Which is exactly why you've got to do it.
Before I said anything else, she squeezed my hand.
Hey, help me do it, okay? And then we'll see how you feel.
I nodded. Okay. I helped Erin, but I could only stand to play the victim once. I did the moves and dislodged her fairly easily. As an ex-cheerleader, Erin was strong, but she was no buck. I had no faith that this move would dislodge someone of his size and strength. I couldn't look at Lucas, not during this final exercise, and not as we filed out the door.
Are you sure you don't want to go? I could use you to keep me from testing those moves we learned this morning on Chaz, if he has the balls to show up at this party.
I looked up from the novel I was reading, because Landon still hadn't sent my econ project back. funny how I continued to think of him in terms of Lucas and Landon, and I was weirdly caught up on homework. My roommate had never understood my compulsion to read when I had free time, especially if there were campus social events to attend. No, Aaron, I really don't want to go to a sorority thing, believe it or not. Not to mention the fact that no one would be thrilled to see me there. Hands on hips, she frowned down at me.
You're probably right, but you're coming with me to the Brotherhood Bash in a couple of weeks, right? Bitch has got nothing to say about me bringing you then. Frat rules apply. Additional booze and broads welcome.
Aw, what a sweet and not at all demeaning sentiment. She laughed while she pulled on platform heels.
I know, right? What a bunch of pricks.
Her smile fell.
Seriously, though, I could use a buffer between me and Chaz that night. Not that he'll, you know, bother me, but I know some girls who have just been waiting for me to be out of the way. They'll be on him like ticks on a country dog, and I really don't want to see it.
I nodded. I understand. And ooh, on that visual, though it's revoltingly appropriate. Can't you just skip the Brotherhood thing? You could have the Asian flu or malaria. I'll vouch.
Tossing her hair over her shoulder, she grabbed her purse and walked to the door like a runway model. Not the slightest wobble.
Nope, it's a huge deal. Besides, I've got to face it sometime. Plus, I already RSVP'd for us both, and I have a couple of weeks to mentally prepare for it.
She yanked the door open.
We're going power shopping after break, though. I'm gonna make that asshole gnaw his own hand off that night, damn it.
As the door shut behind her, my phone trilled a text alert.
Lucas, do you still want to see the charcoal?
Me. Yes.
Lucas. Tonight?
Me. Okay.
Lucas, I'll be outside your place in 10. Pull your hair back and wear something warm.
Me. You aren't bringing it over?
Lucas, I was bringing you to it, unless you don't want to.
Me. I'll come down, but I need 15 minutes.
Lucas, I'll wait. No rush.
I tore around the room like an insane person, stripping off my flannel PJs and snatching a clean bra and panties from the clean but not put away laundry pile. Warm clothes. Sweats? No, jeans. Black Uggs. The soft sapphire sweater that made Aaron say, "That makes your eyes pop." After brushing my teeth, I brushed my hair and secured it at the nape, though I wasn't sure why. Grabbing my black wool peacoat on the way out the door, I left the building by the main exit. I hadn't been in the stairwell since Buck caught me there, even when it meant extra steps. Lucas was at the curb, leaning against a motorcycle, arms crossed over his chest. Along with his now familiar boots and jeans, he wore a dark brown leather jacket that made his hair look black. Watching me with those light eyes, his gaze didn't waver from me, no matter the distracting Saturday night noises of residents coming and going. He didn't hide the unhurried top-to-bottom scan that left parts of me molten and longing for him to touch me like he had in my room. Swallowing the lump in my throat, I reminded myself of his deception in a failing attempt to douse the desire spreading through me like lava, slow-moving, heavy, and hot. My trepidation about his motorcycle helped cool it to some degree. I'd never been on one before, and couldn't say I'd ever intended to change that fact. When I walked up to him, he held out an extra helmet. "I guess this is the reason for the hair guidelines," I said, taking the helmet and examining it hesitantly.
"You can take it back down when we get to my place, if you want. I didn't figure you'd want to stuff it under the helmet, or leave it loose and get it all tangled on the ride."
I shook my head, wondering if I needed to undo the straps completely or just loosen them.
"Never been on a bike before?"
From the corner of my eye, I saw Rona and Olivia exit the building behind a group of boys. Both girls stopped and stared at Lucas, and then me, while I pretended not to notice them.
No. Let me help you with that, then.
After I put my bag strap over my head and settled it crosswise over my chest, he took the helmet and placed it on my head, securing the straps under my chin. I felt like a bobblehead figurine. Once we were both helmeted and on the bike, I reached my arms around him and clasped my hands over his abdomen, marveling at how firm it was.
"Hold on,"
he said, shoving the kickstand back. His suggestion was unnecessary as the engine roared to life. I had a death grip on his torso, my entire front pressed securely against his back, my chin tucked and my eyes squeezed shut. I tried to imagine I was on a roller coaster, perfectly safe and attached to a track, instead of hurtling through the streets on a flimsy 500 pounds or so of metal and rubber, hoping some drunk in an SUV wouldn't run a red light and flatten us. The ride to his place, an apartment over a detached garage, took less than 10 minutes. My hands were numb from the combination of the grasp each had on the other, and the chilled November air rushing over them. As I stood rubbing them together, he parked the bike on a paved section between the garage and the open steps, before turning and taking my hands in his, one at a time, and massaging warmth into them.
"I should have reminded you to wear gloves."
I pulled my hand from his and pointed to the house not more than 50 feet away. "Do your parents live there?"
"No."
He turned to walk up the wooden stairway, and I followed.
"I rent the apartment."
He unlocked the door to a huge studio with a wall, but no door, defining what I assumed was the bedroom in the far right corner. A small open kitchen was on the left, a bathroom between the two. On the sofa, a huge orange tabby cat regarded me with characteristic feline apathy before hopping down and stalking to the door.
"This is Francis."
Lucas opened the door, and the Tom wandered lazily outside, stopping on the landing to clean a paw. I laughed, moving to the center of the room. "Francis? He looks more like a Max, or maybe a king." He shut and locked the door, his ghost smile turning his mouth up on one side.
"Trust me, he's superior enough without a macho name to back it up."
He shrugged his jacket off as he crossed the room to me, and I stared up at him, starting to unbutton my coat. "Names are important," I said. He nodded, dropping his eyes to my fingers.
"Yes."
I pushed the oversized buttons through the slit slowly, top to bottom, as though there was nothing beneath. Sliding his thumbs inside the lapels, he dragged the coat from my shoulders, his thumbs brushing down the arms of my sweater.
"Soft."
"It's cashmere." My voice was nearly breathless, and though I wanted to follow up on my statement about names, wanted to press him to tell me why he was misleading me, I couldn't jar the words from my throat. The coat fell past my fingertips, and he turned aside, tossed it on top of his jacket.
"I had an ulterior motive for bringing you here."
I blinked.
"You did?"
Grimacing, he took my hands.
"I want to show you something, but I don't want to freak you out."
He breathed a sigh.
"This morning, that last thing, the ground defense."
He watched me closely, and I tried to look away, anywhere but his eyes, because my face was burning, humiliated, but I couldn't tear my eyes from his.
"I know you don't believe it would work. I want to show you it will."
"What do you mean, show me?" His hands tightened on mine.
"I want to teach you exactly how to execute it, here, with no one else watching."
It was the replication of the position itself, but also the thought of him watching that had been so unnerving this morning. But he couldn't know that.
"Trust me, Jacqueline. It works. Will you let me show you?"
I nodded. He led me to the center of the floor space, pulled me down to my knees next to him.
"Lie flat, on your stomach."
Heart pounding, I obeyed.
"The majority of men have no martial arts training whatsoever, so they won't be able to counter the moves correctly. And even those who do won't be expecting what you're going to do. Remember what Ralph said. The key is to get away."
I nodded, my cheek on the carpet, my heart slamming against the floor.
Do you remember the moves?
I shook my head, shutting my eyes.
It's okay. I could tell you were freaking out in class. Your friend did the right thing, not forcing you. I don't want to force you either. I just want to help you feel more in control.
I took a deep breath. Okay.
If you find yourself in this position, you want to do these moves automatically, without wasting time or energy trying to buck him off.
I stiffened at his inadvertent use of Buck's name.
What?
That's his name. Buck. I heard him inhale through his nose, like he was trying to maintain control.
I will remember that.
He was silent for a moment.
The first move seems counterproductive because it provides no leverage. But that's the thing. You're taking his leverage away. Choose the side you want to roll onto, and put that arm straight up and out like you're standing and reaching for the ceiling.
I put my left arm up as he described.
Good. Now with your opposite arm, you give yourself leverage, and you remove his already precarious balance. Palm flat on the ground, elbow up. Shove down and roll to your side, throwing him off.
I followed his instructions. Easy to do with no weight on top of me.
Can we try it? I'm going to push your shoulders down and use my weight to hold you there. If you have a problem, just say so and I'm off, okay?
I fought my panic. Okay. His gentleness as he knelt over me, holding my shoulders to the floor, was so contrary to Buck's violence that I almost cried. He lay over me, his breath in my ear.
Arms straight up.
I obeyed.
Palm flat, and push off hard and roll onto your side.
I did as he said, and he tumbled off.
Perfect. Let's try it again.
We went through the moves again and again and again, and each time he was more forceful and harder to displace. But still, I threw him off, every time, until I mistakenly pushed up with my hips trying to rise. He exhaled harshly.
That won't work, Jacqueline, though it's the natural response to something unwanted on top of you. The only sure way to dislodge a man in this position is rolling to the side. I'm too strong for you to move me by pressing up. You have to fight that inclination.
Finally, we tried it more for real than any other time. He shoved me down and my arm shot up and out, but I had a difficult time getting my hand free for leverage. Finally, I switched arms and got the opposite palm to the floor, shoved and rolled, throwing him off and to the side.
Shit, he laughed, facing me as we lay on the floor. You swapped sides on me.
I smiled at his praise, and his gaze flicked to my lips.
This is the part where you'd get up and run like hell.
His voice was gravelly. But won't he chase me? We lay on our sides, 2 feet of carpet between us, neither making a move to sit up. He nodded.
He might. But most of these guys don't want challenging prey. Only a handful will go after you, if you run away screaming.
Ah. He reached out, took my hand.
I was supposed to show you your portrait, I think.
So it won't seem like you brought me here under completely false pretenses? His eyes flared and my breath caught.
I do want you to see the charcoal, but I admit that was secondary to what we just did. Do you feel more confident now that it'll work?
Yes. He leaned up on his elbow, closing the distance between us, pushing his hand into my hair and moving it to cut my face.
I did have one other concealed motive for bringing you here.
Leaning down slowly, his lips met mine, and the fire that had been embers since he left my room over a week ago flamed. I opened my mouth, and his tongue pressed inside, stroked mine, and withdrew. Turning his head, he moved his mouth over mine, sucking my lower lip into his mouth, caressing it with his tongue and releasing it to pay attention to the upper. His tongue ran over the sensitive space above my top teeth, and I gasped. And then his hands started moving. Chapter 12.
cradling my head against his shoulder. Both hands skimmed down to my hips, urging me closer until there was no space between us. His lips continued to move against mine, unrelenting and sweet, and my head swam as he swept his tongue through my mouth, his hand gripping my thigh, drawing it between his so that our legs were scissored together. I leaned into him, and he moaned, one hand kneading my hip and the other stroking up beneath my sweater. Warm fingers splayed across my lower back. One of my arms crushed between us, I laid the other against his chest, fingering the front placket of his flannel shirt, covertly sliding buttons from buttonholes, feeling the variation between the smooth surface of the flannel and the bumpy texture of the thermal knit shirt beneath it. Shirt unbuttoned, I peeled it aside and slid my hand beneath the thermal to his hard stomach. His breath caught, and I pulled away to lean on my elbow and look down on him. "I want to see your tattoos."
"You do, huh?"
His eyes burned into mine. When I nodded, he withdrew his hand from beneath my sweater and sat up, crooking an eyebrow at me when he looked down on his unbuttoned shirt. My face warmed at his smirk, and he chuckled, removing the shirt and tossing it aside. Reaching behind his neck, he removed the white thermal the way boys do, pulled forward over the back of his head, unworried about ruined mascara or blushers smeared on the fabric. He dropped this shirt, inside out, on top of the flannel one and lay back on the floor, offering himself up for my inspection. His skin was smooth and beautiful, his torso segmented with definitions of muscle, and ornamented with the two tattoos I'd seen in my dorm room, an intricate octagonal design on his left side, and four scripted lines on his right. There was one other, a rose over his heart, the petals dark red, the dark green stems slightly curved. On his arms were mostly designs and patterns, thin and black like wrought iron. I ran my fingers over each one. But he didn't turn, and I couldn't read the poem-like lines snaking around his left side. It looked like a love poem, and I was jealous of whoever inspired the sort of devotion he must have felt to make those words so permanent. I wondered if the rose represented her as well, but I couldn't ask. When my fingers trailed down his abdomen to the line of hair below his navel, he sat up.
"Your turn, I think."
Confused, I said, "I don't have any tattoos."
"I figured as much."
He stood and reached a hand down to me.
"Would you like to see the drawing now?"
He was asking me to go to his bedroom. I felt like I should come back with something smart, like, "Should I call you Lucas or Landon in bed?" But I couldn't manage it. I reached up and took his hand, and he pulled me up effortlessly. Without releasing my hand, he turned toward the bedroom, and I followed. Dim light from the outer room illuminated the furniture and the wall adjacent to his bed, where at least 20 or 30 drawings were tacked up. He switched on a lamp, and I saw that the entire surface of the wall was covered in cork. I wondered if he'd installed it, or if it was here, and when he went looking for a place to live, he knew immediately that this was meant to be his. The two uncorked walls were painted an earthy taupe, and his furniture was dark and not at all typical college boy, from the queen-sized platform bed to the solid desk and hutch. I moved into the narrow space between his bed and the wall of drawings, searching for myself, but distracted by the others. Renditions of familiar scenes, like the downtown skyline, unfamiliar faces of children and old men, and a couple of Francis in repose. "These are amazing." He came to stand next to me, just as my eyes found my own face amongst the others. He'd chosen to charcoal the one of me on my back, looking up at him. Its placement was low on the right side of the wall. Seemingly, this display spot would indicate lower importance, but I was acutely aware of where it was located in relation to his bed, directly across from his pillow.
"Who wouldn't want to wake up to this?" he'd said.
I sat on his bed, staring at it, and he sat too.
I was abruptly aware of his bare chest and his statement in the other room.
Your turn, I think.
Turning to him, I saw that he was watching me. I'd been so sure that this sort of moment would summon debilitating memories of Kennedy, of his kiss, of our years together. But the truth was, I didn't miss him. I couldn't dredge up a single twinge of sorrow. I wondered if I was either anesthetized to the grief of losing him, which would be worrisome, or if I had cried so much and grieved so deeply in the past several weeks that I was over it. Over him. Lucas leaned to me, and the Kennedy bubble burst entirely, his breath in my ear. He ran his tongue along the curved edge, sucking the fleshy lobe and my small diamond stud into his mouth. And my eyes drifted closed while I babbled a weak sound of longing. Nuzzling my neck, he lapped gentle kisses down the side, his hand coming up to cradle the weight of my head, which had fallen to the side. His weight left the bed as he knelt on the floor and pulled my boots from my feet before resuming his seat and removing his own. His lips played over mine, and he pulled me to the center of the bed and laid me flat. I opened my eyes when he drew back and stared down at me.
Say stop whenever you want to stop. Understand?
I nodded.
Do you want to stop now?
My head moved back and forth on the pillow.
Thank God,
he said, his mouth returning to mine, his tongue plunging inside as I dug my fingers into his solid arms. I stroked his tongue with mine, sucking it deep into my mouth, and he groaned, wrenching away long enough to lift me slightly and remove my sweater. Teasing one fingertip over the swell of my breast, he followed the arc with his lips. When I pushed against his shoulder, he stopped, his eyes unfocused. I pushed him onto his back and straddled him, feeling him hard and ready through our two pairs of jeans. His hand smoothed up my waist and pulled me down, and we kissed deeply as I rocked against him. Minutes later, he flicked the hooks free at the back of my bra and tugged the straps down my arms. It wasn't off completely before he slid me higher and took a nipple in his mouth. Oh, I gasped, going limp in his arms. We rolled again and I was under him, his hands tracing and circling, followed by his mouth. Then he unbuttoned my jeans and touched the zipper and everything crashed around me. I tore my mouth from his. Wait.
Stop,
he panted, watching me. I bit my lip and nodded.
Stop everything or just go no further?
Just no further, I whispered.
Done.
He gathered me into his arms and kissed me, one hand tangled in my hair and the other caressing down my back, our hearts pulsing out a cadence that the musician in me translated into a concert of lust. I kept my eyes open on the ride home. Peeking over Lucas's shoulder, I watched the scenery fly by. And it was exhilarating, not frightening. I trusted him. I had since that first night when I let him drive me home. Kennedy would have never stopped like that. Not that he had ever forced me or come close to doing so. If I asked him to stop, he'd stop and lay back, a hand over his face, calming himself and saying, "God, Jackie, you're going to kill me." After that, there was no further physical activity. No kissing, no touching, and I always felt guilty. I thought the guilt would go away once we were actually sleeping together, because it was rare when I'd ask for a reprieve from sex. But if anything, my self-reproach was worse. He'd stop abruptly, like it pained him. It was all or nothing. He'd take a few deep breaths, click on a game or channel surf, or we'd go get something to eat, and I would feel like the world's worst girlfriend. Lucas had continued the make-out for another hour. Before it was over, he'd slid his hand between my legs over my jeans.
"This okay?"
he asked. And at my breathless, affirmative answer, he stroked his fingers there while kissing me deeply, and somehow made me come through a layer of denim. I was shocked and a little embarrassed, but one glance at his face told me he savored my body's response and his ability to trigger it. He would not let me return the favor.
"Leave me something to anticipate," he'd whispered.
Now he was leaving me at the front of my building, wide awake from the cold drive, though he'd placed my hands under his jacket during the ride, so they wouldn't be frozen. He put the helmets and his gloves aside and pulled me closer, his hands under my jacket, over my sweater.
"Did you like the charcoal?"
I nodded. "Yes. Thank you for showing me your drawings. And the defense move." Resting his forehead to mine, he closed his eyes.
"Mm-hmm."
He kissed the tip of my nose, and then moved his lips to mine. It almost hurt to kiss him. Almost. I sighed into his mouth.
"You'd better get inside before."
He kissed me again, more hungrily, and I curled my hands between us against his hard chest. "Before..." He inhaled and exhaled through his nose, his mouth a tight line, his hands gripping my waist.
"Just before."
I kissed the edge of his jaw and pulled away. "Good night, Lucas." He remained leaning against the Harley and watched me.
"Good night, Jacqueline."
I walked up the steps to my building, and not until I got to the door did I look up and see Kennedy standing there on the top step, his narrowed, curious eyes flicking between Lucas and me.
"Jackie."
He stared down at me as I stepped up next to him.
"I came by, thought we could talk, but Erin said you were out and she wasn't sure if you'd be back at all."
I'd left Erin a scribbled note telling her where I was. She must have enjoyed rubbing my night out in Kennedy's face. He looked back toward the curb, but I didn't turn to see if Lucas was there or gone.
"Why didn't you text first, or call?"
He shrugged, combing his hair back from his forehead with one hand, the other stuffed into the front pocket of his jeans.
"I was in the building."
I angled my head. "You were in the building and thought you'd just stop by and I'd be in my room?"
I had planned to just be in my room, but that was beside the point.
"No, of course, I didn't assume you'd be there."
He backpedaled.
"I hoped you'd be there."
He looked toward the curb again.
"Is that guy waiting for you or something?"
I turned then and saw Lucas, arms crossed over his chest, still leaning against his motorcycle. I couldn't make out his facial features from this distance, even with the floodlights surrounding the dorm. But his body language spoke volumes. I lifted a hand and waved to let him know I wasn't being threatened. "No, he was just dropping me off." After a smirk of disdain in Lucas's direction, Kennedy turned his sharp green eyes to me.
"He doesn't look as though he understands the concept of dropping off, if you ask me."
"Well, I didn't ask you. What do you want, Kennedy?"
"Some guy going inside called out, 'Kaymore!'"
And Kennedy acknowledged him with a lifted chin before answering me.
"I told you, I want to talk."
I crossed my arms, starting to feel the chill in the air I hadn't felt pressed to Lucas. "About what? Haven't you said everything that needs to be said? Do you want to devalue me some more? Because I have to tell you, I'm not real super amenable to that." He sighed as though tolerating some sort of distraught outburst, a familiar consequence of me being inflexible, his word, that I'd seen many times in the past 3 years. I'd forgotten about that until seeing it again.
"There's no need to be inflexible," he said then, as though reading my mind.
"Really? I think there are plenty of reasons for my inflexibility, or stubbornness, or obstinacy, or pigheadedness."
"I get it, Jackie."
My hands made fists at my hips. "It's Jacqueline." He stepped closer, his eyes flaring. For a split second, I thought he was angry. But that wasn't anger in his eyes. It was desire.
"I get it, Jacqueline. I hurt you, and I deserve everything you're saying and everything you feel."
He raised his hand to my face, and I stepped back, out of his reach, my thoughts chaotic. Dropping his hand, he added,
I miss you.
Chapter 13. Snapping, my mouth closed. I spun to swipe my card and enter the dorm. And Kennedy followed me through the door. I turned to tell him I didn't want to talk, and saw Lucas grabbing the door just before it snapped shut. Stepping next to me, he glared at my ex, and the air was charged between them the moment Kennedy turned and noticed him.
"You okay, Jacqueline?"
Lucas asked, his eyes never wavering from my ex. "Lucas," I started to reiterate verbally that Kennedy was no physical threat to me when he huffed an arrogant laugh, peering at Lucas.
"Wait, aren't you the maintenance guy? The one who repaired the AC at the house?"
He glanced at me and back to Lucas.
"What would administration think about you sniffing around the students?"
The look on Lucas's face was murderous, but he held his ground without reaction, ignoring Kennedy's question as though it hadn't been asked. He turned his eyes to me, waiting for my answer.
"I'm fine, I promise."
I held my breath, hoping he'd believe me. People near the door were already nudging each other and whispering.
"Are you hooking up with this guy, too?"
Kennedy interjected.
"Two?"
I asked, but I knew what he meant before he confirmed it.
"In addition to Buck?"
The edges of my vision closed in.
"What?"
Kennedy took my arm just above the elbow, as though he meant to escort me away, and Lucas's hand shot out, grabbing his wrist and removing his hand from me easily.
"What the fuck?"
Kennedy's voice was a low growl as he jerked his arm from Lucas's grip. He put himself slightly in front of me, facing off with Lucas, and everyone within sight of the developing spectacle was stock still and gawking. The two of them looked evenly matched, but I knew Lucas's proficiency firsthand. Kennedy would lose, and Lucas would be expelled. I stepped around my ex and laid a hand on his forearm. It was rock hard beneath my fingers.
"Kennedy, leave."
"I'm not leaving you with this, Kennedy. Leave."
"He's a maintenance man, Jackie."
"He's a student, Kennedy."
I decided not to point out that Lucas was in our econ class, in case he recognized him as the class tutor and reported him for going out with me. Kennedy inclined his head, his expression transforming into concern. Slightly furrowed brow, eyes searching mine.
"We'll talk next week, when we're home."
His meaning was clear and directed at Lucas. The two of us were about to spend several days in our hometown, where he would have unrestricted access to me without the nuisance of interference. I wanted to tell him I had nothing to say to him, not now or then, but my jaw was clenched so tightly that I couldn't speak. Still unsure what I was even doing over Thanksgiving break, I ignored his implication that we would be alone then. Judiciously, he didn't try to touch me again, though his lethal expression matched Lucas's as they faced off. I didn't exhale until he went through the door. Onlooker disappointment was palpable. A few hung around to see if there would be a bonus row between Lucas and me. The adrenaline was clearly still pumping through him. His body was taut, like the hard wire of my bass strings. And when I reached a hand to his forearm, it was granite under layers of leather and flannel.
"I'm okay. Honest." I sighed heavily.
"Well, as okay as I can be after that." I squinted up at him. "Exactly how many jobs do you have, anyway? Barista, self-defense guru, fix-it guy, parking enforcement officer? And by the way, does that mean you gave me the ticket I got last spring for 2 measly minutes of double parking when I ran into the library to return a book?" His shoulders relaxed with my teasing tone, and I was rewarded with a ghost smile.
"I plead the fifth on that. I write a lot of parking tickets. The, fix-it thing is rare. And I volunteer time for the self-defense gig."
What I'd left off this list, and what he didn't add, economics tutor. I guess we should add one more, huh? I said, watching him closely.
He had a superb poker face.
No reaction at all.
Personal defender of Jacqueline Wallace?
The faint smile appeared again.
Another volunteer position, Lucas?
I asked coyly, brows rising.
How will you have time for studying, or anything fun?
His hands reached for me, gripping my hip bones and pulling me forward. He stared down at me, his voice low.
There are some things I will make time for, Jacqueline.
Leaning, he kissed the spot just in front of my ear, the spot that made my breath go shallow. And then he turned and jogged out to his motorcycle, leaving me standing in the entryway. Once he was outside the pool of light surrounding the building, I couldn't see him. I turned and walked to my room in a daze.
Jacqueline, your paper is good. Solid research. I think Dr. H. will be pleased with it. I noted a couple of small inconsistencies and one place you may have left out a citation. Other than that, I think it's a valid, well-supported argument. I've attached the worksheet for tomorrow's session. You're caught up now, and you seem to have a good grasp on the new material. But I'll continue to send you the worksheets for the last 2 weeks of class, if you like. I assume you're going home over the break. I'll be heading home Wednesday morning. No Wi-Fi there, so I'll be out of pocket until Sunday. L.M.
Landon. Looks like I may get this paper turned in early. What a relief. Thank you for your help. Yes, please continue to send the worksheets. My parents are going skiing over break, but I'd rather go home for a few days and hang out with old friends than stay here on campus. They'll be boarding Coco, Mom's evil-tempered little dog, so it should be peaceful and quiet. Are you flying home? I remember you saying you were carless. J.W.
Jacqueline, your parents are going skiing and not taking you? You'll be at home for Thanksgiving alone?
I'm hitching a ride from someone with a car. Home isn't far, though it seems like another world at times.
L.M. Landon, my parents thought I'd be at my ex's. We've traded off the last couple of years, rather than trying to join both family meals. This was his year. My BFF's family will be at her grandparents' cabin outside Boulder, and I'm not in the mood to burden anyone else. I'd rather be alone.
That's weird, huh?
J.W.
Jacqueline. Not weird to me, but maybe I'm just weird too, and I wouldn't know. I'll miss your emails.
L.M. Landon. Ditto. Have a good break. J.W. I couldn't look back at Lucas during class Monday without thinking about Saturday night. His hooded stares made me think he was having the same issue. After I caught him staring holes into the back of Kennedy's head, I didn't turn back around. When class ended, Kennedy turned and smiled at me. I forced my lips into a line and turned my back to him to pack up. This class, this semester, could not end too soon. For too many reasons to count.
Can I just say, your ex is gorgeous, but he seems like a conceited asshat.
Benji crammed his spiral into a backpack that looked as though it could erupt with loose papers any moment. I zipped my backpack. Yeah, he totally is. We waited for Kennedy to pass before moving into the aisle, and I studiously avoided making eye contact. I was more than a little worried about his assertion that we would talk while we were both home. I couldn't imagine what he could have to say that I'd want to hear. Following our classmates up the steps, everyone animated with anticipation of the coming long weekend, Benji told me he'd be flying home to Georgia and coming out to his father, the only member of his family he hadn't told.
Mom's known I was gay since I was 13.
I was worried on his behalf.
Will your dad be upset?
He smiled.
I think he knows. He's just not sure if that means I'm going to show up in a dress or something.
The thought of Benji in a dress wasn't a pretty picture, and I couldn't hold back my laugh. He laughed, too, adding, I know, right?
Lucas was gone, or so I thought, until Benji and I emerged into the busy hallway and I spotted him, leaning on the far wall, near the side door I usually took to escape the building. He watched us approach, but he seemed acutely aware of everyone else as well. I imagined him watching for Dr. Heller.
You haven't told him you know yet, have you?
Benji asked, speaking from the side of his mouth. I shook my head.
Don't make him suffer too much. He looks sort of vulnerable.
I chuckled. Right. A tough, muscular guy like that, who's trained to beat people up and lies about who he is to girls, is so vulnerable. He squeezed my arm just above the elbow and smiled.
He's either an asshat to rival all asshats before him, or there's a reason for those lies.
I sighed. I wish I was a mind reader.
You might not, once you know what's in there.
If I ever do. Benji shrugged in agreement and veered off toward the long hallway leading to the south exit, turning to call,
Have a good break, Jacqueline!
You too.
I reached Lucas and he turned to follow me, leaning close to push the door open.
Can I see you tonight?
He murmured. I wondered if I was turning into a booty call, or if that's all it had ever been to him. If that was his reason for not telling me he was Landon Maxfield. I have a test tomorrow in astronomy. We have study group in our room tonight. I glanced up at him, walking beside me with his hands stuffed into the front pockets of his jeans. His gaze continuously scanned over the crowd of people, as though he was on guard.
Tomorrow night?
He stared down at me as we neared the building, and I noted that he seemed to know exactly where I was going. I have an ensemble rehearsal tomorrow. I usually spend Sunday mornings in the music hall, but I missed yesterday. I hadn't told Lucas I played the bass. I'd told Landon.
You slept in?
I nodded.
Me too.
We reached the entry and stopped to the side of the door. I have to get my bass packed up, too, since I'm taking it home with me. Waiting to see if he'd react, I watched his eyes, which matched the gray-blue of the overcast sky as his gaze drifted over the faces around us. I'll have plenty of time to rehearse during break.
When are you leaving town?
He flicked his hair from his eyes, avoiding the subject of my instrument completely. Wednesday morning. You?
Same.
He shifted on edge, his lower lip caught between his teeth, and then all of a sudden he settled and stilled. His eyes met mine, unwavering.
Text me if you're done early, or your plans change. Otherwise, I'll catch you after break.
He hitched the shoulder over which his backpack was slung and added,
Later, Jacqueline.
Before turning and blending into the flow of students, his dark head rising above most of them.
Hold up. So tutor guy Landon and hottie OBBP Lucas are the same guy?
Maggie's eyes were so rounded with shock that I could see white all the way around her light brown irises.
What I don't understand is why you didn't call him on that shit immediately.
Erin had her talk show participant face on. Any moment she would call me girl and start recounting the ass-kicking she'd be doing if she was in my shoes. Ever since she'd broken up with Chaz, she was much less tolerant of guys stepping out of line. Or appearing to. I huffed a sigh and wished I'd never told them.
What happened to gag him and bag him and rebound and Operation Bad Boy phase?
The three of us sat on a comforter on the floor of the dorm room, drinking coffee and eating Oreos. Astronomy texts and notes spread all around us, untouched for the last half hour as we discussed Landon slash Lucas, instead of gas giants and celestial navigation.
He's supposed to be your booty call, not the other way around.
Erin's voice resonated with authority.
Yeah, Maggie chimed in. Why don't you text him that you want to meet up later?
I rolled my eyes. Because I have an exam at 9:30 in the morning, which we're supposed to be studying for right now. And also, I think I need a little distance. Erin peered at me.
Oh, hell no. You're getting emotionally involved, aren't you?
I lay back with my hands covering my face. By the way, speaking of booty calls, what's this I hear about you and Buck? He's definitely bad boy material. Maggie mused. Did you add him to the OBBP stable without telling us?
I gave Erin a pleading look between my fingers. Buck's full of shit. You know that, Maggie?
She scoffed. Maggie nodded. True. Plus, I messed around with him freshman year. He wasn't very good, from what I recall. Too slobbery. She shuddered. What is it with slobbery kissers? Are they trying to drown us in spit? I mean, Jesus, swallow every now and then. Her hand squeezing my shoulder, Erin laughed. And while I could hear the contrived ring to it, Maggie didn't. I knew where Erin's mind was going. I hadn't given her many details, and she'd not asked for any. It was difficult enough to speak about that night in generalities. The point was what had happened, and what had almost happened, not the particulars of it. So you aren't hooking up with him, Maggie pressed. She was only curious, but it rankled to have my name joined with Buck's in any way. Like Erin said, he's full of shit. I was curious myself. Morbidly so, perhaps. Why? Is he saying something about me? She shrugged. Trisha said her little sister's boyfriend said Buck was hassling Kennedy about it. Those two are like those big goats that butt heads over the girl goats. I think Buck's still pissed that he was legacy and Kennedy still beat him out for pledge class president. That was the complication I couldn't remember before. The all-important initial conflict between them. The start of their weird brotherly rivalry. I frowned. But Kennedy was legacy, too. Maggie licked Oreo crumbs from her fingers. Yeah, but Buck was legacy and his daddy was pledge class prez. He thought he had it wrapped up. I sat up, becoming furious as Buck's motivations became clearer. His reasons for hurting me were nothing more than goading my ex. And that translates into the need for Buck to spread lies that I'm screwing him? Not to mention the fact that he'd actually assaulted me? I didn't say it made any sense. Erin pulled her notes onto her lap.
Okay, ladies, which constellations do we think we'll have to plot on the star chart position of this test?
Giving my best friend a grateful look for the change of subject, I shoved thoughts of Buck as far away from my consciousness as I could manage to do. Chapter 14. After 3 months away, the house smelled funny, like dog combined.